if a sun of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, brothers and sisters. Welcome to another Israelite Way of Life broadcast here on the Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom, Barakathah, peace and blessings unto you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one. Let us have a word of prayer. Our Father, our Abba, which art in heaven, in Shemaim, Kodesh, set apart, hallowed be your name, and may your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Shemaim. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us all of our debts as we learn to forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Heavenly Father, give us the courage and the ability to accept your will being done on this earth and whatever you have for our lives, the discernment to know what your will is for our lives. And may you continue to restore and refresh your people who are honoring the Shabbat on today as you commanded us to do so in the fourth commandment, to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Continue to be a fence all around them, and continue to wake up our brothers and sisters who you have placed in your Lamb's Book of Life. We praise you for the awakening that is taking place. Strengthen the feeble. Feed the hungry. Guide our steps that we might be able to be a light unto this darkness and salt unto this earth. Lift every bowed down head, every hung down head now, and give them strength and be a healer. For you are Ahaya Bahashem and Shaya. And we know it's through your Ruach that you're able to be a healer and a comforter. All praises to you for all things. We thank you for the humility that you place upon our people. May the arrogance decrease. May the arrogance decrease. And may the unity begin to increase and the humility begin to increase as we go forward in your name, in your word, your power, your strength, and in your will. Forever giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So let it be. Brothers and sisters, I'm Elder V. I pray that you are resting and are able to reflect on just how good the Most High is to us and the ability for you to have strength to be able to provide for your family and take care of your family, even those of you who are out there trying to find work. You're laboring and you're doing all that you can, and know that the Most High recognizes your efforts. This show is designed... I want to thank all of you that have tuned into the archives. Tremendous support. A lot of listeners for a lot of the shows previously, shows in the past that people are still listening to. And we've in the past done health shows, shows for precepts were strictly Bible studies. And of course, Straight No Chaser, which sometimes can really become straight with no chaser. And we never know which way that's going to go, but it's an opportunity for us to talk to people of all backgrounds, all races, talk about current events, politics, the community, consciousness, and even sometimes the things that are upsetting us. I think it's a tremendous format that's provided by the Most High here on Blog Talk Radio and the Social Change Action Network. If you have any ideas that you for shows or any guests or hosts that would like an opportunity to be a part of the Social Change Action Network on Blog Talk Radio, there are spots available and open. If I'm able to talk to you, know your background, where you're coming from, and what you want to present to our community, feel free to contact me via email. Of course, you will have to come from the same substratum foundation belief base, where sometimes we do have people that have views and opinions that don't necessarily reflect my personal views or opinions. But we still like to sometimes, if it's uplifting and empowering to the community, the Hebrew community, which you call the Negro community, then we want that information out there. So we're not prejudiced towards getting the information out there. Contact us and love to talk to you, especially as it pertains to health. One of the biggest battle fronts that there is right now, cancer's on the rise. It's had an impact on my family, diabetes, people not knowing how to eat but wanting to know how to eat, people really trying to work out and lose the weight, not aware of what's happening with the food that they think they're eating healthy, and unfortunately the food doesn't have any nutritional value. These things are so important. Not knowing how to detox and cleanse your body on a daily basis, because there's metals in the air. There are new diseases from the metals, the chemtrails, the radiation, and the fluoridated water, the GMO foods, and also just all of the frequencies and subconscious subliminal things that are happening to our psyche. That caused a lot of people to resort to pharmakia, which is pharmaceutical drugs, which then presents possession and oppression and depression, and it further compounds the problems. These are things that are all connected that we need to talk about, so anyone with information in that area is always welcome. We do have a brother that we're talking to who has a tremendous amount of information about certain fruits and vegetables and foods and how they can enhance your life. When you take care of the temple, your spirit, your soul is revitalized as well. You have the rejuvenation and the energy to pursue your Father and his will in the earth. But when you don't feel good and you just don't feel good, you just don't have the drive or the tenacity to want to do and give and bless others because you're drained physically. And this is something that needs to be talked about, which is why you need to know your body is the temple. That is the church. You got these brothers talking about their call to pastor the church, and they're completely out of shape. You know, not only completely out of shape, they're sick. And there's a reason they're sick. And if you remember in the scriptures, when Christ healed a person, he told them, go and sin no more. He attributed the sickness to demonic activity. And more than likely, demonic activity from things that they transgressed upon. What is sin? Sin is transgression of the law. If we violate the dietary laws, we can bring sickness into our lives. We weren't designed as a Kodesh set-apart people to consume pork, which is why we are naturally inclined to are prone to have high blood pressure, and our glycemic levels, our glucose levels as well, are totally different when it comes to too much sugar and certain types of foods. And it's pretty much all of the foods that are made reference to in the what you call the Old Testament, which is really just our Hebrew history book that's been put out there to give us information about who we are, our people, our culture. But unfortunately, this show is designed to get us back into our culture because the Israelite way of life is our culture. We are the people of Psalms 83. They have conspired to get us to forget Israel, to forget our name, to forget where we've come from, to take the riches of the land that we possessed. And it's all because we disobeyed the Most High. So if we can get out of disobedience and get back into obedience and come back to the commandments, ignore these paganist, satanic, government-aligned pastors that are telling you that the commandments are done away with. They are not, never have been. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit later on today. This show is designed to deal with the Ten Commandments, the over 613 commandments, because it was a culture, and it is the ordinances and the laws that in which we will be judged by. If you're going to be judged by the Most High, there must be an ordinance, there must be statutes, there must be laws in order to judge you righteously. And these are they which were given. And we'll get into that a little bit later. You know, there's some people out there that, you know, want to be on the attack about certain shows that we do. And there's one sister who calls herself Race and Faith, but I think there's a lot of people that are coming on to Blog Talk Radio, YouTube, who are actually becoming more a part of the problem because they don't have enough information or history or research to really know the truth of what's happening out here and what's going on. But as I think about it, a lot of these people have been supplanted, infiltrated and compromised, and they're here to cause confusion amongst the people. If you have an unlearned person out here teaching as if they are a historian, a theologian, a professional, or they have a doctorate, a lot of people are put out here just to create confusion amongst the people that are waking up. And we know that God, the Most High, is not the author of confusion. We know who that is. That is Satan himself. So you have a lot of people popping up on the scene. One thing about you can't combine race and faith. First of all, race did not just pop up on the scene a few hundred years ago, because prior to the word race, races were referred to as nations. So all the various nations are what you consider the different races today, and you need to do your research. Unfortunately, we are the only people that don't have a nation, and no one will come and buy us. But we are a nation of people. We are the children of Jacob, the children of Israel. And actually, if you believe it or not, yes, this is a racist society because it was actually separated upon a nation, various nations. And we're the only one that's referred to as bywords, Negro, African, American, and everything else. But we don't necessarily have a nation, and there is not a nation called Black. You know, you call me Black, but there's not a nation called Black. But if you have Chinese, you have China. If you have French, he's from France. If you have a Russian, he's from Russia. If you have the Japanese, he's from Japan. And so these races are nations that had different names, and they are referred to in Psalms 83. Now, I'm not going to do your work for you, but you need to do your work so you understand that race is not anything new. The races were referred to as nations in the past. So a lot of people are coming out and considering themselves to be ideologues, or wanting to be ideologues, and considering themselves to be knowledgeable on certain topics. And in actuality, they have no true information. They've probably done a lot of Googling, not realizing that even Google and YouTube is scrubbed on a daily basis to keep you from knowing the truth. You've got to do more research if you're going to study the precepts and the word. You've got to find out about history and find older books. Find out what was scrubbed. And you actually have to be pretty intelligent and smart to use Google for research, because you've got to get to the, let's say, the crux of what's actually being said, because there are things that pop up on Google in the first couple of pages that won't necessarily reflect the truth. You've got to get to the source. And then once you get to the source, you have to find out and examine who the people are that are putting the source out and what their intent is. Because everyone has an agenda, and most people have a hidden agenda. So you can use the spin word conspiracy theorist, and conspiracy is actually a word in the scriptures. People don't even know. But we are agenda analysts right now, and it takes a lot, but it's so crucial and important to become an analyzer of agendas, because Satan has many people on agendas, some for smoke screens, some for distractions, and some to set up his kingdom, the New World Order, and some to distract, cordon off, entice the children of Israel, the indigenous people, as he ramps up his war against the children of Israel. And we are in Jacob's trouble, for he doesn't want the Most High to come back for his remnant. But he can't touch us, because Isaiah 54:17 tells us that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And those that are strong enough know that we are to be the ones to strengthen the weak and the feeble. Every tongue that rises up against us, it also says that we shall condemn. We have a responsibility to condemn. Isaiah 35:3 says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. It's important, like even right now, for those that are shaking at the knees, for me to confirm you and let you know that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We're getting to the point where almost all food is tainted, but you're going to have to trust and have faith that your prayers can cause things to be nutritional and restored back to its normal state. This was done by Elisha. Many of the prophets, many of the people would bless the food. You have to remember that even Shaul, when he got off out of the shipwreck and was bit by a snake, the poison didn't harm him. We serve a mighty, mighty, mighty God. His name is Ahaya, and Ahaya Asha Ahaya. And we need to begin to trust in him. Now, that Ahaya being Hebrew for I am that I am, something that has been revealed to us and some of us around here so many years ago, because we've understood and read the Hebrew before everybody else started getting into James Strong. But let's not even put all of our faith into James Strong, okay? He is not our source. You know, we have to go back to a time when they figured we would not realize the truth. If you can get your hands on something from the 1800s, early 1900s, this is the time they figured we weren't reading, we weren't aware of a concordance, we weren't aware of the truth. But now everything's being changed. Your NIV Bible, that's just put that away to the side. That's ran by the same publishers that published the Satanic Bible. You don't want anything to do with that, because they've extracted over 80,000 words. Out of the original King James 1811. Of course, the Apocrypha is not in there. And you've got clowns out here now that will tell you that the Apocrypha is not the inspired word of the Most High. First of all, let me get something straight. What you call inspired word in Bible was not intended for you in the first place. This is the Hebrew history book. When it was found, it was a bunch of scrolls. Your scribes, decided to put it together and put it in the not chronological order, but the order they wanted to, and then they separated it with Old Testament and New Testament, and then decided to take out the Apocrypha because there was too much information in there that would let you know who are the wicked in the earth that the whole earth has been turned over to. This is why I say it's important for people who are going to handle this word and teach it to do your research and to study. Know who those people are over there in Israel from Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9, synagogue of Satan. Know about Isaiah the 14th chapter and the 5-point plan that Lucifer has and that he's always had and that he has successfully implemented in the earth today. You need to study to show yourself approved. A workman. And sisters teach the sisters and the children. I'm just going to be one that is very truthful and honest about the fact because it's time to go hard or go home. We do not have the time to play or for me to pat you on the back or to be nice. You weren't called to preach or teach. So you out there trying to teach with your radio broadcast, you're out of order. You are out of order. There are enough men out here bringing forth the Most High's word to the point where you need to sit back and get some learning and then to try and show yourself chaste and dress in modest apparel and represent the Most High the way he created you so that all praise, honor, and glory can go to him for his original plan for you. He didn't change it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He didn't suddenly just give you a green card or permission slip to start doing things because you find fault or you have bitterness or anger. That is not his will. So before I get into encouraging you, I want to say something else. Scripture told us to follow peace with all men and holiness, which is Kodesh, without no man will see the Most High. I taught on this a few Shabbats back. But we're getting away, even as those who are awakening in Hebrews, from following peace with all men. And when he says all men, that's all nations too. Now, we can follow peace, meaning that we don't seek contention and destruction on a daily basis because we represent the Most High. He has a hedge around you, just like he had with Job. The ones that don't have a hedge is the ones that are constantly living in sin and not keeping these commandments. There's a way that even the scripture tells us that when you have aught against your brother, you think he has aught against you, for you to go to him. And even if we have a problem within our community, we've been mandated to first go to your brother and sit down and have a dialogue and have a conversation. And then if he doesn't listen, even at that time, you're to go back with more elders and sit down and try and have a peace treaty and come to some equitable compromise. Then at that point, if your brother doesn't receive you, then you're supposed to expose them before all. If you're not following those steps, you're not representing following peace, and you're causing confusion within the community of the believers. And so, therefore, you're not following the precedents that the Most High has set up for us to follow so that we could have peace and grow in grace and represent him to the fullest. If we show infighting, we show the lack and ability to come together in the front. Now, I know we're under these curses and we're not going to completely come together until our brother Yeshua HaMashiach comes back. But at the same time, those that are awakening do have the ability to begin to form a nucleus and a phalanx against the enemy. We do have that ability, but we must begin to follow the statutes, laws, and commandments and ordinances that the Most High gave us in order to do so. And so there's a lot of infighting trying to come up amongst the people as far as pointing fingers and saying who's doing what and who's trying to get fame and who's trying to get money. And I think we're missing the point when we should be promoting one another. That's real humility and that's real servitude. And he who's greatest amongst you should be a servant. It's the one who's saying, what can I do for you to help you get this across? And I'll say this, too. If someone tries to do that for you and you reject it, saying, well, I don't need nothing from you because you take it the wrong way. And you're not even in the right capacity because you not only keep your brother from being blessed, you're not understanding the perpetuity of giving and how it operates. how perpetual it is. You're not understanding the fact that you should be willing to receive if your intentions are correct towards building the kingdom of the Most High. You'll take what he gives you to continue to build the kingdom. Now, if you're trying to build yourself, your pride will tell you you don't need it. And pride goeth before a fall. So check yourself as far as you that are trying to move in ministry, because you truly have taken on something serious. Now, before we get into some of the importance of the commandments, I probably won't go into breaking down just one commandment today. I just want to get into the importance and what was done away with. I want to go back to the encouragement as far as those being weak. Isaiah 35:3 made it clear that we have a responsibility as those who are strong to help the weak. And also, let's see, let's look at 2 Corinthians 12:9. The Most High said that my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. All of your infirmities are not bad, as Shaul said. He said, I'll even glory in my infirmities when I'm going through a trial, when I might be in the state of Job. He said, I'm going to glory in that. I'm not going to complain. Are you in the disposition where you can do the same thing as Shaul? He said, I'm glorying so that the power of Christ can rest upon me. Now, if the power of Christ rests upon you, the infirmity can't rest upon you for long. But it's all about your disposition, your mindset, and your attitude. He already said, my grace is sufficient for thee and strength made perfect. There's no other type of perfection I want to rest upon me than the perfecting strength of Christ in the midst of my infirmities. In the midst of my infirmities. The weakness of God is stronger than men. Shaul made that clear. And out of weakness, we are made strong out of weakness, because he will not put more on you than you can bear. Every person that we've seen in the Torah and Tanakh that went through a trial always came out greater, came out stronger after the battle. There's time after time I can tell you that. So I just want to encourage you and exhort you before we go into the commandments to not throw in the towel, not give up. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. With the right hand of my righteousness. Remember that. Be right back after this break.
Success is in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you for this hour and placed in you my power. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I will do exceedingly above all you ask of me. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. Don't wait until the last. Don't wait until the right. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you by my name, and you will never be the same. It's in your hand.
Shabbat Shamayam, Kodash Haya Shekam Ahaya. Malak was now Zamba Arat Zamba Haya Isha Ba'arat Kawa Haya Bashamaya Lepela now Lakam Kayawa. Well, what's a lot now? Come, what's up now? Cause a lot now. Ooh, come up, you know. Walla, Samba, ya, now. But I say, you one, I'm done. I'm washing now. May I recall now? Malakwa Wahala Wahatapara La Awalamya Awalamya.
The water, Abba. Amen.
Welcome back to the Israelite Way of Life.
I am Elder B. Definitely brought to you here on Blog Talk Radio.
All I am is a heart for the Most High. And that second song was actually the Lord's Prayer, sang in the Hebrew tongue. All praises to the Most High for Judah getting down and lifting up the Most High here on the Shabbat. This is our day of worship. This is the day commanded for us to honor Kodesh, sanctified, be holy, set apart. Not when Sunday comes. No. You've been, those are, that's a religious attitude, and those are traditions of men that have been taught to you your whole entire life that people can't break away from. People say, how can you leave something you grew up with and that you learned? Because if you have the ability to evolve and grow through knowledge and learning, then you do not allow yourself to be shackled and confined by traditions and religion, which will snare you and definitely take you to hell. The commandments, which is our culture, and let me get this straight. Everybody thinks that this is just some pro-black. No, the Latino, the Native Indian and North American Indian, the Guatemalans, the Puerto Ricans, the Haitians, those we've been scattered throughout the four corners of the earth and have taken on all types of different languages and looks. There were 12 tribes with different looks, Negroes being the tribe of Judah, tribe of Benjamin being those in the West Indies, the Jamaicans, and the tribe of Levi being the Haitians, and Naphtali being those that are like in the Fiji and Samoan area. And I could go on, Issachar being the Mexicans, and it could just going on and on and on. So when I speak, it's not just from some pro-black stance, but it's the indigenous that have suffered persecution at the hand of Esau and Edomites and the Romans and the Egyptians and Assyrians, all the different captivity that we've been in, but most of all, the Babylonian captivity and captivity that we are in right now. The commandments were never done away with, and this is why we are in a world of trouble and nothing has changed, which is why you can't talk to me about let's find a solution. No, let's get back to the commandments and our culture and who we are as a people. Why? Revelations 22 and 14 is why. That's one of the reasons why. But let's look at that. Let me read that from the King James Version of the Scriptures. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. And that's the city, the heavenly city, the new heaven that will come down. And it also says the tree of life. There will be a tree that will sustain people to have eternal life. Let's go to the first part of that. Blessed are they that keep the commandments. They that do the commandments, the 10, the 600, we're working on the 600 day by day. And we know that if we break any of these, so are you able to keep the 10 commandments? Don't let anybody tell you it's impossible or it's hard to keep the 10 commandments. There's nothing complicated about keeping the 10 commandments. Do you have a problem honoring your mother and father? Last week we talked about lying because we're not supposed to bear false witness against our neighbor or lie, and we're so caught up into it because this whole world is caught up into gossip, lying, talking about one another, and not understanding that the whole premise of lying never came from the Father. It came from Lucifer himself, and anyone who's a habitual liar or tells white lies is of their father, Satan. Are you staying away and abstaining from idols? Once you begin to keep the 10, you begin to expand into the other 600 because you want to know more about the Most High. This is how you draw closer to him, because he gave these laws and statutes and commandments in order to bring us closer to him, to make us Kodesh and separate from all the other races, which used to be referred to as nations in scripture time. This is what separates you. Now, if you look at the 15th verse, it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. There we go again. So he's saying those without the commandments are these type of persons. And these persons will be outside of the city, will not inherit eternal life. The only thing that Christ came to do was to, I'll say it like this. He took away, and what he nailed to the cross, as he said in Colossians, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. The handwriting of requirements that was against us. That's how other versions would mention it, but it's the ordinances. Pretty much which requirements were wiped out is that the penalty which a lawbreaker had to pay. So the consequences of not keeping the law is what was done away with by Christ. But you have to be a believer in his death and the blood of Christ, especially as we get ready to approach the Passover. You've got to be a believer in the fact that Christ came and died and paid the price. And he said, I came to fulfill the law. So what has he done? He's erased the penalty and the debt for breaking these laws. Yes, we know that people will tell you it's impossible because of the requirements that if you broke one, you broke them all. Or they would say because there was death, you'd be stoned or you had to pay penance by sacrificing animals. He has been our one-time ultimate sacrifice. We no longer have to sacrifice animals. And now if we break some particular law that required death, we don't have that penalty anymore because of the grace, because of what Christ has done for us. And it's only through the acceptance of his sacrifice can these penalties be wiped out. So we must accept the power of his sacrifice. Now, you'll see that from Colossians 2 and 14. So whatever was enforced against us is taken out of the way. He has obtained for us a legal discharge from the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us, which, you know, may be understood. Exelepho was the Greek word for wiped out that you'll see in Colossians 2:14. Galatians 3:13 tells us Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Because scripture tells us cursed is the man that hangeth from a tree, which is why they hung us from trees when we came over into the States and hung us from the willow tree. And you'll hear the willow spoken of in the Torah and the Tanakh, that this would happen to the children of Israel. The curse of the law is related to the penalty, and Christ paid it. But what about the law of the Most High? Was the law of the Most High to be wiped out? Now, remember, the scripture tells us that sin is lawlessness. Sin is not what the church tries to tell you. Sin is not keeping the commandments. If that be the case, then all of you Christians are practicing sin on a daily basis by just living strictly in grace and not keeping any of these commandments, not keeping the Sabbath, eating pork, doing all these various things. They're breaking all of the commandments, and they are the ones in sin. Every time they get up on sun worship day, after having a bacon sandwich, and having done some other lawless activity the night before and being unclean, they're the ones that are living in sin. And this is why Shaul wrote, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? So the ones who are waking up, you are the remnant, because the only reason you're waking up is because the Father promised Abraham that there would be a remnant. He has to fulfill his promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the, your so-called New Testament makes it clear that the law of the Most High continues. Thus, it was not nailed to the cross or wiped out or done away with. However, Scripture also shows us the requirements of Levitical priesthood in Hebrews 9:1, 6-10, sometimes called the law, which were part of the penalty of sin, were blotted out. Let's look at 10. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. By that will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Yeshua once for all. That's Hebrews 10:4-10. Makes it clear. Yeshua HaMashiach, one sacrifice was and is sufficient. We do not have to sacrifice animals anymore. Another requirement which is related would be the death penalty of sin, as the wages of sin is death. But the gift of the Most High is eternal life in Christ Yeshua. That's Romans 6:23. Now, the Levitical priesthood was changed, but we're not going to get into that. But you need to know something, that the Ten Commandments were in effect before Mount Sinai. There's evidence that Job kept the commandments as well. That's something we're not going to get into today, but they were in effect before Moses. Job kept them. Abraham, they were familiar with them. Noah was told what animals were clean and unclean. Let's look at ordinances and laws for Levitical priesthood. I think the biggest misunderstanding is that, like I mentioned, the not understanding of the old and new covenant, and thinking that the old is obsolete, and there's nothing obsolete about it. Hebrews 8 and 13, in that he says he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. This is what causes the confusion, and this is why even Peter said Paul's writings aren't for the unlearned. And if you look at the verses immediately after that, you see difference. The old covenant then consisted of the ordinances of the Levitical priesthood, washings and fleshly ordinances like animal sacrifices. Shaul wrote what the new covenant was. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and into their minds I will write them. He did not write that the Ten Commandments were to be done away with, and that in the new covenant it was acceptable to kill, steal, or bear false witness, or covet, or break any of the Ten Commandments. He didn't say that. It didn't say that it no longer requires that the followers of the Most High need to wear external signs of the law. Hence, this is why people in these churches do not wear tzitzis, especially knotted ritual fringes worn by, the real Hebrews. The laws and statutes of the Old Testament always need to be understood. Those with a new heart and a new spirit will walk in the statutes. This is what will happen. You'll be inclined and pulled into wanting to observe these. Ezekiel 11:19 says, "Then I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take the stony heart of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their Ahayah. But as for those whose hearts follow the desire for their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their deeds on their own head, says the Most High." So you have to go back to Hebrews 10 and 16, where Shaul was saying, "I will put my laws into their hearts," and then go to the precept, Ezekiel 11:19-21. "Then I will give them one heart." This is what causes us to be one. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." And Christ prays that we will be one as they are one. And Ezekiel 11:19 says, "I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and take away the stony heart of their flesh, and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them." So the change of him putting it in your heart is the desire to want to adhere to the law which he gave us, the statutes, laws, and commandments. This is important. Listen to what Jeremiah said. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Most High, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day. I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Mitzrayim, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Most High. 33, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Most High. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their Ahayah, and they shall be my people." And this is precept and confirmation for Ezekiel and Hebrews as well. Christ and the New Testament writers make it clear that the Ten Commandments are still to be kept, but they are kept in the spirit of the law, which does not mean that you don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. The spirit of the law of Christ and others expounded means to go beyond the literal requirements and keep the intent. That is why Christ taught that hate was like murder and lust like adultery. He absolutely did not teach that one spiritually can keep the Ten Commandments while literally breaking them. Now, although, I don't know what this stuff is about a spiritual Israel. There's no spiritual Israel. They're the children of Israel, we the Hebrews. There's a lot of other things I want to get into as far as people want to know about Colossians 2 and 16, let no man judge you in meat or drink and respect. This does not violate dietary laws, and it's not saying to do away with the dietary laws or the Sabbath. All of these things are to be kept. So let's remember, Israel, that we are the called and that he has put inside of us a new heart. Before I close out, I just want to do a reading of Jeremiah 9, portion of Jeremiah 9, and then Jeremiah 11, which talks about the covenant and continue to let you worship. Jeremiah says, 9:1, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men," so much like today, and these leaders and these so-called pastors. Verse 3, "And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, said the Most High." No one desires to hear the truth. People are inclined to lies, and people are actually going from evil to evil and not transforming themselves by keeping the commandments. Let's look at verse 4. "Take ye heed, every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother in this hour," listen to this, "every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers." I don't know for the life of me why people have a tendency to want to walk with those who talk about them, slander other people, and it's a desire to want to be with them. Misery loves company. And you have constantly different brothers trying to supplant. This is why I'm saying Hebrews, as I said in the beginning of the show, follow peace with all men. There are ways that we're not supposed to try and supplant one another. This is not the will of the Most High. This is not his will. Be mindful. Jeremiah goes on to say in 9:5, "And they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me." The habitation is in the midst of deceit, and we live in a whole world, an era of deceit. Everything is built upon deceit, sales, commercialism, policies and politics, and everything everyone is doing is trying to give a perception that's deceitful. And no one really wants to take the time to get to know the Most High, because the only way you're going to get to know him and draw closer to him is through his statutes, laws, and commandments, which requires too much discipline and denying of oneself. And no one in this hour wants to do this. And so Jeremiah is being prophetic on many levels. Let's look at verse 7. "Therefore, thus saith the Most High of hosts, behold, I will melt them and try them. For how shall I do for the daughter of my people? Their tongue is as an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. One speaketh peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he lieth in wait, waiting for you to fall, waiting for you to destroy, waiting for, we can't wait to see you fail." Now he's talking about the daughters of his people, the offspring, his people who are like this. Verse 9, listen to what the Most High said. "Shall I not visit them for these things, said the Most High? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this," referring to Israel, his children, us? For the mountains will I take up a weeping and wailing, and for the habitations of the wilderness a lamentation, because they are burnt up so that none can pass through them, neither can men hear the voice of the cattle. Both the fowl of the heaven and the beast are fled, they are gone. And I will make Jerusalem heaps and a den of dragons, as your synagogue of Satan in Revelations 2 and 9 and 3 and 9. And I will make the cities of Judah desolate without an inhabitant. Who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Most High hath spoken, that he may declare it? For what the land perisheth, and is burned up like a wilderness, that none passeth through. And the Most High said, because they have forsaken my law, which I set before them, and have not obeyed my voice, neither walked therein, but have walked after the imaginations of their own heart, and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Balaam, Satan, a false god, a false lord, and chasing our own imaginations, anything and everything we desire. Judges 11, I believe 11 and 25 says, when the people don't have a king, they do whatever is right in their own heart. And when you don't elect Christ and the Most High as King and his law, your heart, which is desperately and deceitfully wicked, you follow the imaginations of your heart. And if you don't have a heart of flesh that follows the commandments, you have a stony heart that will misguide you and mislead you. And then you have the nerve to say, he knows my heart. Yeah, he knows it's wicked. The problem is you don't know it. For he's a discerner of the intent, and you can't even control it. 15 says, therefore, thus said the Most High, Lord of hosts, that Ahiah of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, bitter, and give them water of gall to drink. That's water with feces in it. And I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known. And I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. This is the scattering of our people who've gotten away from the commandments. And you're going to let someone tell you, you don't have to keep the commandments. This explains the predicament we're in and why we still suffer. This explains why many of you thought that Obama was your savior because he had your skin color and you thought something was going to change for you. It's not going to change for you until you begin to come back to the commandments. You wake up, and then our nation as a whole will begin to wake up. You want to find a solution. You want to fix the problem. Fix yourself and fix it right here by coming back to the Most High and what he gave us as a people, as a culture. Go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and read about the curses. Go to Psalms 83 and read about how they've conspired against us. And then go to Revelations 2 and 9, Revelations 3 and 9. Read the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, 9th and the chapter and the 11th chapter. Read these books. Find out who we are as a people and come back to the Most High and come to know him and stick with him and worship him and seek to be pleasing to him and humble to him. Don't pride yourself in the fact that you're waking up. Humble yourself, Ak, Akoti, and understand what you've been called to do and who you've been called to represent. This is Elder V, and I'm going to say, as we always say here at the Social Change Action Network, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. I got mad love for you. Shabbat Shalom. Barak Atah. Kwam Yasharallah. Until next time.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth.
Iron shirt and chase the devil out of earth. With your gun, Princess Philip, yeah, with your bomb.